Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Going on, we're back for another episode of Believe in Kentucky. If you follow us on Twitter, told you we had a football episode and a basketball episode. This is the basketball app. We recorded football already, so you're getting two episodes dropping of Believe in Kentucky. So follow us on Twitter, go to believe.com, get each and every episode straight from the site or wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all those platforms, YouTube. You can watch us or check us out however you would like. AG Aaron Gershon from the Cats Pose was at the basketball game today. North Florida Ospreys. AG, man, what's going on? How we doing?
Oh, man. I'm doing well. It was fun. The announcer, the public address announcer at Rupp Arena, kept calling them the Ospreys. And Matthew Driscoll, the head coach at North Florida, started his press conference after the game, like explaining the difference for like a whole minute. It was pretty funny that you mentioned the name there, but yeah, Kentucky kind of continued this early season trend. That's so frustrating. They have not played well against the good teams, and against the bad teams, they look like the team that, you know, fans were dreaming they would be. So it's a frustrating, even with the win today, you kind of leave it frustrated a little bit.
Yeah. And the next chance they have for this to go away is Michigan in London.
And even that one is tough to even say, because they're not – Michigan is not good. So, I mean, they should have lost to Amani Bates and EMU. They were down five at halftime. They win that game by five. Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio took them to overtime, and they lose to they didn't just lose. They got beat down by Arizona State. So, really, you might even be looking – we'll see how Michigan does in between now and then, but you might be not looking until UCLA, yeah, where you can really get rid of that demon there.
Because – so Michigan is kind of sliding to in name only.
Yeah.
And Louisville is, my God, in name only.
I think North Florida might be Louisville.
Unbelievable. I mean, we focusing on Kentucky, but you can't help but – look down I-64 West and be like, This is well, like who is it? Car Chronicle, Mike Rutherford, he tweeted out yesterday.
He's going through it, huh?
The Texas Tech game, which they lost 70-38, and they closed on an 11-0 run.
So they sure did.
70-27, and they scored the last 11. And he said, you know, scandals and death penalty and.
It might have been all right.
In spite of how bad it was, he said he never thought it would be this bad.
Yeah, this is – I mean, they just – as we finished recording the football episode, we got this one here. They just finished their game just against Cincinnati. They lose by 19 to Cincinnati, 81-82. And what's crazy about that, there's a couple things. It was a one-point game at halftime where actually – Louisville was winning, and with 1 second, a Cincinnati player drains a little bit in front of half court shot to give them the 1 point lead going into overtime, and they get outscored 50-32 in the second half. I mean, and they were down even worse. They went on a 7-0 run late in the second half again, so the score isn't even fully reflective. And this is not, you know, you think Cincinnati, yeah, they're a good program. Nah, not this year. They were 3-3 going into this game. They were the only other team in Maui who was 0-2 in Maui, and they got their butts whooped. They lost by 13 to Northern Kentucky. So not a very good Cincinnati team that just beat down Louisville. So, yeah, it's a hot mess. I mean, you can't justify losing. And I know they were all by 1 point. Fine. You can't justify losing home games to Wright State, Appalachian State, and Bellarmine back. I got the order mixed up, but you get the point. You lose to those three teams back to back to back. That can't happen at Louisville. It just can't.
81-62 to Cincinnati.
That's correct.
We were talking before we started recording, trying to see, and know that Louisville fans are as well, trying to see where that first win could possibly pop up on the
Yeah.
schedule. Because we have Florida State. I mean, Leonard Hamilton ain't losing his. He had
No.
Kenny Payne get his first win ever against him. Maryland's a good team, ranked
Ranked.
top 25. Miami, Jim Larranaga, he's like, I'm not about to lose to Kenny either.
I don't think they're losing. I don't think. I mean, you would think they'll have a shot against Western Kentucky, but they lost to Bellarmine, Wright State, and App State. So I don't know about that one. Florida A&M is really bad, and Kentucky plays Florida A&M as well.
Yeah,
that they'll probably, unless something goes horrifically wrong, they will beat Florida A&M. So that would be, let's see, quick math here. They would be 0-1-6. They're 0-6 now, so 0-7, 8, 9. They'd be 0-10 going into that game.
And so now it's Kenny just trying to keep it together at that point, keeping guys, I mean,
just trying to keep,
ready, sorry, toxic
avoid being a one and done head coach.
That press conference was nice back when they had that, though. Back
yeah. I don't know. It's a mess. You almost, you almost feel for him, but this rivalry's pretty bitter. So,
and given how Kentucky has played against, killing these Howards and Duquesnes and North Floridas, and
Louisville's in that group, not the good group.
Losing to Michigan State and Gonzaga and all that, you need to, the way this Louisville team is, Kentucky needs to win by 25.
30. Absolutely.
If Louisville comes to Lexington and it's a game in crunch time, that will be alarming from Kentucky.
The fan base would riot. If that game is, forget winning, as my dog interrupts us here, forget winning, that would, they have to win that game big for the fan base to approve of that one.
You can't let that be close at all based on what they've done, based on what Cincinnati just did to them, based on what everybody – Arkansas beat them by 26.
And Arkansas is a really good – Arkansas is a buzzsaw, man. They don't even have, their best player on the floor yet, and they take Creighton the way they took Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, Arkansas. I said it before the year that I thought Arkansas was probably the only team in the SEC better than Kentucky, and the way they're playing without, their best guy, I think, is it Smith that's out or is it Black that's out? They're both really good.
I'm not sure.
But whatever it is, the guy that their highest ranked recruit, their top freshman, hasn't played a minute yet, and they're looking pretty, pretty good. even if you want to call Louisville a similar thing to a bye game, they're looking pretty good. The way they played against Creighton was daunting, to say the least.
So I think the thing too for Kentucky is it's a veteran team. Yes, you got CJ and Reeves that are working themselves in, but it's just still, you lead Michigan State for 35 minutes and then you find a way to not finish them off. And we saw how Michigan State extended the game both times in regulation and overtime.
Right.
Gonzaga just punches you in the mouth from the jump.
Absolutely. That game was over. That game was over from, I think they started the game on an 8-0 run and then 12-2. That game was over. I mean, there was no – even – I know Kentucky, I think, cut it to as little as four. Even then, man, it just felt – if they had just hit a couple shots early, maybe that comeback would have been more substantial. It just never felt like they had a prayer in that game, and it's unfortunate. And, we'll get into a couple of the numbers here on the comparisons Kentucky has. I looked a lot at those numbers today after the game and updated those on the numbers, in shooting, in a passing, and in specifically the two guys you mentioned, Reeves and Frederick, from three in the games against the wins against these mid-majors compared to the two, losses against tournament-bound teams. It's damning, man. It's a damning difference. And that's why, it's hard to even get excited about these games right now against these not so good teams. Cause it's like these teams, you're not going to see these teams in March. They're not going to matter in March.
Yeah. And hindsight is 2020 and all that, but sometimes you can see a comeback, a potential comeback, and feel good about all the momentum. They're going to do it. And you either get over the hump and do it, or you get all of three quarters of the way up the hill and you fall back, which is what they kind of did. But you flash back to the game at West Virginia where they're getting blown out. And you could feel, you know, Kevin Knox and that.
The momentum was slowly going the other way.
You felt confident. Okay, they're going to do this. Never really felt that. I'm not just saying it because they lost to Gonzaga.
No, you're right.
I'm just saying it didn't have the same kind of substance to it when you're talking about trying to get yourself back in the game as some other comebacks have in the past.
Yeah, no, it just never had that vibe. And, you know, you give some of that credit to Gonzaga, but it just felt like, you know, Kentucky, their offense was such a mess. It was such a mess. The offense cannot go through Jacob Toppin. It cannot go through tough. You even saw Mark Few said after the game, we'll let them have tough twos. Those are the shots we want to let guys have. Like, we could live with that. But they did a great job on CJ. Obviously, CJ goes 1 for 9. They lock in on Antonio. They play off Sevier Wheeler. Both Michigan State and Gonzaga played off Sevier Wheeler. And what did Sevier Wheeler do? Try to do too much and miss a bunch of shots. Same thing. And so you've seen Cal get out-coached in those two games. There's no way around it. And, you know, I think the big talking point that everyone's kind of talking about is Cal keeps saying, oh, we haven't practiced yet. We haven't practiced yet. And everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, he went to the Bahamas. You had extra practices and games down there. Like, what are you talking about? And, you know, yes, they had the injuries in October and they were putting in some sets that they hadn't put in yet. And, you know, Oscar and Sevier. But this is a veteran team. I don't want to hear about that. Like, six guys are – it's not just a veteran team. You have six guys, and I know CJ wasn't on the floor last year, but you had five guys who played together and six that were together. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to get, you know, the couple of new guys, especially with how Antonio's a senior. I mean, I know he's not at Kentucky. He's a senior. Kaysen Wallace is beyond his ears. I mean, other than, you know, guys like Chris Livingston, Adu Thiero, Ugano and Esso, the younger guys in this team who are probably going to be multi-year guys, there should be no excuse, you know, that this offense should be ready to click. And I'm not saying it needs to shoot 45% from three every game. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it shouldn't look stagnant. It shouldn't look lost. It shouldn't look sloppy. Like it was, I think the two games against the good teams have been inexcusable offensively. And, you know, it goes down to coaching. It really does.
And so everybody was, you know, you got those people that have never liked Calipari since he's been there, and they've been quiet while he's winning, and now they can be vocal, and so that's happening. There's some that think everything is, you know, lollipops and roses, and that's not the case. And then you got some to try to be in the middle. Just the way last year ended was frustrating. He did, you know, the recruiting, trying to fix it, trying to revamp and all that. And then to see what we saw against Michigan State, for him to use the word discombobulated, those were his words, for him to tell Tom Izzo, you were better prepared. Well, why didn't you
prepare? Yeah, I don't know. So
these are things, and it's not, you know, little fine details that aren't really given attention. You need to dot your I's and cross your T's better.
And there was just because you hit a great point there about him talking to Izzo about that. He had a quote today. I'm trying to get it really quickly here. He said something I thought was damning, and like, no, that's not okay to say that. He said, I'm not happy we lost two games. I want to win every game I coach, especially once I talked to Tom and Mark. You know, obviously Tom is a Mark Few. We're friends. We gave one away, Michigan State. We did. The other one I knew we would be hard for us to win, but I thought we would battle, and it would come down to be truthful and execution play they would make and we couldn't make. Really? Like, you're saying that you have no confidence and that you can't draw anything up for your team to make a play? Like, that you're basically telling me that that's like saying, okay, if you were in Michigan State shoes, right? You're down two, you have the ball underneath the hoop with 4 seconds, seven, whatever it was. You don't trust your team can make a play to win the game right there or tie the game like Michigan State could.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Cal is admitting right there. And that is not, that doesn't sit right with me. Like, it just doesn't. Like, he's a Hall of Fame coach, man, who's won a national championship. He's been to a bunch of Final Fours at multiple places. Like, you're telling me, and with a veteran team, you don't believe they can execute a play with the game on the line? I mean, this is Kentucky. This is not North Florida. Like, this is Kentucky. How do you not have confidence? So, yeah, it just doesn't – I'm not an excuse guy ever. I think that's one of the reasons we haven't been, you know, overly hard on Mark Stoops this year on the football side of things, because he's always taking accountability. He's always explaining kind of what went wrong. He tells you specifically when guys need to do things better. We just don't get that from Cal, and at least about himself. And that's, it's frustrating. I could see why, you know, some of the fans who are either on the new, like me, where they're really neutral on Cal, where I don't think he's the greatest coach in the world, I don't think he's the worst, or on the negative side, or can be furious with him right now.
Yeah. So it's just those little, you know, I don't know. Like I said, details, attention to detail, yeah. Execution, things like, you know, this gives credence to those who say, well, he just rolls the balls out. You know, that validates those that want to knock him with that. It's just, you know, and like you said, they had time. They had the Bahamas. They had extra time. This is a veteran team. Used to in years past, you're glad there was a sophomore, just one sophomore to help the freshman one and done guys. Hey, they got one. Hey, Terrence Jones stayed. He's a sophomore. He can help AD and all the freshmen. And now you got those senior laden group, you know, got a bunch of old guys. And so it's puzzling. It's frustrating. It's just, you thought it'd be further along than this. And look, we've seen them start slow and get better and be rolling come March. That has happened as well. But with this team, like you said, you kind of thought it would be further along than what we're seeing. A lot of ragged stuff. You play good teams.
Yeah. I'll give you those numbers I was alluding to earlier there. So against the four mid-majors, they're all wins at home. They're shooting 51.5% as a team from the field and 45.7% from three. In the losses, 38.8% from the field, so a 13% difference, and 26% from three. So that's a 19% difference, almost 20%. And then the other numbers, passing, they're averaging 22.5 assists a game against the mid majors. That's a crazy clip. Actually, you know, through six games, Kentucky has the most assists it's had in the Calipari era. But when you look at those, that high number, and then against the better teams, they're averaging 14 a game, and they only had 11 at Gonzaga. So they're not spreading the ball out well. And then the two guys, CJ Frederick and Antonio Reeves, your guys you need from three. Frederick is a 45% three shooter against the mid-majors, 16.6 again, and one total make against Gonzaga and Michigan. Then Antonio Reeves, 51.5 against those, you know, not great opponents, and exactly 3 for 10 at 30% against the bigger opponents. I know it's early, but you've got to win big games, because I really think at this point, it just feels like it's almost impossible unless you get some help. And and this is a year of college basketball where there's no dominant team, and, you know, Kentucky can only lose a couple more. It feels like Louisville's out the window. I think you have to be the number one overall seed for the committee to do you the favor of playing, you know, the second weekend 55 minutes down the road. Mm-hmm. So, and if they're not a one seed, they're not. We saw it 3 years ago, right? The Tyler Hero year, Louisville was a host, and they put him in the Kansas City region as a two seed. If they're not the number one overall seed, it's going to go through Kansas City, New York, or Vegas, or I don't know. I think the West is Vegas. It's not going through Louisville, and that was a huge thing going into the year that, you know, would have been huge to accomplish. That I think is dead after two games, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm. One of the, I mean, I'm not just trying to be negative and nitpicky. One other thing too, again at Gonzaga, they're doing a pick and roll with Timmy, flipping it to him, and he's getting downhill, driving straight at Oscar,
yeah,
straight at Lance Ware, a little Euro step. Did he travel sometimes? Maybe, but whatever. And then, you know, Oscar's in foul trouble. Cal puts Ugo in. I know he's lengthy, and you can maybe attack him with length, but he was not ready. If Oscar and Ware can't slow him down, Ugo in that situation, to me, was not going to be the answer to stopping him with a full head of steam. And he came in and got a foul too, and then yeah, got sent right back to the bench. I was like, that, I don't even know why you threw him out there unless you just wanted to keep somebody else from getting a foul. But he wasn't going to be the answer to slowing that guy down either. I mean, no. Either, they threw Toppin on him for a little bit, which I thought, I mean, he's given up weight, but at least he's got the athleticism and the quickness to maybe move laterally. Or, and if he had to pack it in, to his credit, he did talk about the shooters Gonzaga had who were making shots.
Yeah.
So if you do try to zone it up, they do have snipers over there.
They also, yeah, it, but they were even, they just weren't playing good in man either. They were blowing assignments. They were leaving too much room. It was just, the Gonzaga game was an all systems failure. I can live with, again, I can, I don't want to, you know, losing that game is whatever. It was just the fact that they didn't compete in the first half. There, the hustle wasn't there. The fight wasn't there. You know, you saw what Jacob Toppin said after the game, and I like that he did throw himself in that. He didn't just throw his whole team under the bus. He included himself. Yeah. But, you know, being the senior, he spoke up and said something. So I appreciated him saying that. But, yeah, there's a lack of – my bigger problem is the lack of fight. And the Michigan State game is more the problem I have with losing because, you know, is Michigan State good? Yeah, they're not. But they're not Cassius Winston's Final Four team. They're not the Tom Izzo 2000 team. Or I think he's been to, you know, a bunch of Final Fours. I don't know what the exact number is. But it's none of those teams. They're not a Final Four team. I don't even know if they're a second weekend team. And you just can't lose that game when seeding – I mean, especially if Michigan State goes and ends up being a middle of the pack Big Ten team that, you know, is like a seventh seed like they were last year. That's not going to look good on the resume. It's just not. And the SEC, the way it is this year, man, it's Arkansas, really good, Auburn, Tennessee, and Alabama. That's it. And maybe we'll see what LSU is. They're so new, it's hard to really know. But it is a top-heavy conference, and unless you go and win almost all the games I just listed, and, you know, you'll obviously play Tennessee and Arkansas twice. I think at Auburn is just the home game, and Alabama just on the road this year. But, I mean, unless you're going to go, like, 5-1 or 6-1, however many games it is in that stretch, and then also, you know, beat Michigan and UCLA and Louisville, you know, this resume is just not going to be great this year. Yeah. And again, that, like, going back to what I was saying, Louisville's probably out of the question. I mean, Joe Lunardi, it's way early, but his first bracketology has him as a four. So that kind of tells you where they are and have to climb. That it's going to be hard to climb higher than that with the resume I kind of just laid out. So we'll see. It's a tough pill to swallow.
So Tuesday, Bellarmine comes in. It's the next round of the Kentucky State Championship, if you will. They've already beaten Louisville. That
was, but they got blown out by Moorhead.
Right, yeah, right. So yeah, they, yeah. So Moorhead just, you know, maybe they're making waves in the Kentucky State Championship, if you will, the round robin for the state or whatever.
Yeah, it's wacky.
Yeah, and we'll see. Like you said, it's not gonna move the needle. It's just, you know, try to.
Yeah, you got it.
Can and then keep staying healthy. Is basically what they're doing.
I think the Michigan game is, you got to win it. It's big if you win it. It's not. It's big if you lose it. If you win it, it's like, okay, there we go. Thank you. If they lose it, oh my God, and that would be pretty bad. And then UCLA, man, that UCLA, I know they have two losses, but you look at who they are too. I think it's Baylor and oh man, there was another power five team that they played in that event out in Las Vegas. Let me tell you who else they lost to. But obviously UCLA came into the year a top 10 team, and they have, you know, those two guys, the two guys who've been on all these tournament teams that are still there. So they're, and they lost to Illinois, who's obviously pretty good too. So
yeah,
you gotta go 2-0 if you want to save this resume from the rest. If you don't go 2-0, your resume is what SEC play is, because Louisville's a wash. They're like North Florida this year. So your resume comes down to SEC play, and that's why you're seeing early projections for a 4 seed. And, you know, to me, like, if you don't win those two games, 4 is like, is not your ceiling. It's your baseline. And I would say 3 is your ceiling. Like, that's where I'm at. And I think you're going to be between a 3 and a 5 if you don't go and take care of business these two games. And then again, even if you take care of business in the SEC, it's just not, it's not the same SEC as last year. There are really just 5 good teams, including Kentucky.
Yeah. So the opportunities are, you know, you got to take advantage of them. There's already a couple that have already gone by the board. So
they're gone. Yep. They're gone, man. And, you know, even, I mean, if you beat Michigan State, I don't know how big of a resume win that would be, but, you know, the Champions Classic has, it factors into the seeding every year. I mean, you know, every year it's like, why aren't we, you know, I remember there was a lot of fans who thought, not, I don't think it was last year, but the Tyler Hero year, they could have been that last 1 seed. And, you know, the game, I remember the committee brought up the Duke game.
Right, yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, and I think I was joking on the other podcast, my Cast Talk Wednesday with Terry Brown, that we were laughing, like, why is Michigan State even at the Champions Classic when you look at the tradition of compared to the others? Because they've only won 2. And I'm like, if that's all you need to be in the Champions Classic, just let Florida come. They won 2, also, you know what I mean? But they're there, and they
beat Louisville in.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But they're there, and Kentucky lost to them, and like, it does come up. And when it says, you know, quality wins, that would have counted, even if they had just been so-so. It would say Michigan State. But it might be a bad loss depending on what they do. And
that's what I'm saying. That's the danger. That's the danger you run with that loss. Because I really think that, yeah. Again, are they? I don't think they're a bad team. I just think that I think they're about what they were last year, where they're kind of middle of the pack, Big Ten, 7-8 seed in the tournament. That's where I think they'll land. And, you know, you look at them, they just beat Villanova, but we know Villanova's down this year. They lose to Gonzaga by 1. You know, let's see how they fare against Alabama tomorrow. And let's see how they fare against Notre Dame. I mean, if they go 1-1, I don't know if Notre Dame's any good, but let's see how they play against Alabama. Because if they lose to, Alabama, who's in Kentucky's conference, especially because that game, unless it's neutral site, is up in Spartyville. So, it might be neutral side. I don't know. But I don't know. It just that game doesn't sit well with me. The Gonzaga game, they don't sit well. Again, they don't sit well with me for different reasons. Michigan State, it doesn't sit well with me because they lost. But Gonzaga doesn't sit well with me because they didn't fight.
Yeah. And you've sat in press conferences more recently than I have, but I've been in some Kyle pressers. And against, you know, their – when coaches win, you can say whatever you want. Basically, the fan base doesn't care. But when things aren't going as well, then everything kind of gets nitpicked and stuff starts to irritate. I'll never forget, you know, when Phil Fulmer started losing it, he was always, "We're working like heck. I got to watch the tape." That drove the fans crazy. Now, he probably said the same thing in 98, but they were undefeated and fixing to win a championship. And it was, "Oh, we love you." But you start losing, and every little thing grates.
That's right.
After the Gonzaga presser, you know, the post game, he still tried to do that, you know, ask the media a question, and then, "Oh, you guys don't know." He didn't say, I don't think he said basketball beanies.
Not yet.
He threw out a question.
He's quizzed, and he's thrown out questions. Yeah.
Look, we're not the ones paid to know the answer to these questions.
No.
You are, so don't be asking, even if Larry Vaught answers it right, and Larry's a legend. Been around forever, but Larry knows the answer. Nobody wants to get quizzed about, "Well, what did I do?" And he almost kind of like patted himself on the back. "When we got down by 16 or whatever, what did I do? I said, go on the baseline and run dribble drive." Well, why did you get punched in the mouth and get down? I mean, players got to execute, but you also have to prepare the players and have them ready to play and all that. But he almost was like, look, what did I – it was, you know, it came across as kind of egotistical.
No, he's the type of – he's one of the one thing that I think – the one thing about Cal that drives people crazy, including me, is he is one of those guys where things go well, he loves the credit. When things don't go well – he deflects, and that doesn't sit well with a lot of. We just saw it in the NFL, right? With the New York Jets with Zach Wilson. You saw what happened there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of, it's not that extreme, but that's just the best comp I can think of off the top of my head. But he is definitely not. He is not the best coach. You know, like he'll say all those things like, oh, we did this wrong. They didn't run this. Sevier didn't do that. Oscar didn't do that. Whatever. And then it'll be like, well, but put it on me, like as like a. You know, saying it to say it.
Yeah.
Where Mark Stoops always, in number of coaches, not just Mark Stoops, he's just the easiest example. They are way better at taking accountability. Basketball wise, I mean, I guess it wasn't built. I don't know. I'd have to watch what John Shire said after they lost to Kansas, but I know Coach K always did a good job at taking responsibility when his teams lost. I know Jim Boeheim's been really good at it over the years. So. Yeah, it's a frustrating thing. I don't know. I haven't listened to Kenny. I don't know what he's saying, but yeah, it's just the accountability thing's frustrating.
Yeah, and right quick before we wrap it up, too, that's what I meant to ask that in the football episode, the Zach Wilson stuff. I know you're a Giants guy,
oh my
but
God.
Your offense puts up 3 points and you
3 points
had more punts than completion in the first
They
down.
Had 2 yards. Of offense in the second half. 2 yards. They moved. I could fall forward on my face and give you 2 yards.
Exactly. You complete 9 passes and the team punts 10 times. And then they ask, did you feel you let the defense down? And you, nope.
Nope. And, you know, kudos to, you know, I'm not a Jet guy, but kudos to Robert Saleh, the head coach, for making the decision today to bench him.
Mm-hmm.
And not just bench him, deactivate. I mean, Joe Flacco is going to back him up, and Wilson's going to be a healthy scratch this week. So credit to him for making that decision, because that's one. And I'm sure, you know, maybe we'll bring it up next week with Jalen, but I'm sure that's a decision where if Saleh didn't make it, he would have lost the locker room, just like he lost the quarterback lost the locker room. So kudos to him for making that tough call with the, you know, former number two pick just a year ago.
I can't believe I forgot. I definitely forgot to backtrack and bring.
Yeah, we'll bring that one back up.
Jalen, because I meant to, when I said leadership, and for y'all that listen, y'all know we're talking about. When I said I got some leadership stuff, that's what I meant to ask. And then we you know, forget. We talked about the playoff, and it just slipped my mind. But, yeah, 2 episodes for one night, football and basketball, y'all. So we got you covered on all things UK athletics, which is our objective every single week on this podcast, man. And AG is there at every press, at pretty much every game.
There's my dog.
Covering everything, man. And, look, we got to – while you talk with the dog, got to tell y'all about Lots of Rain. You heard about it on every episode. Lots of Rain watches. Get yourself a great timepiece. Dave and Ben continue to give you good quality watches. Go to lotsofrain.com and see the selection. It's Black Friday. No, but they got sales all month long. Go in there and get you a watch for men, watches for women. Accessorize it. If you want a different band for a different style, look, do that. You know, get creative with it. Go to the chat. Ask any type of question you would like. They can give you an informed answer about the watch you're about to purchase. They always have, always will, at lotsofrain.com. Telling me, heard about them on the Believe in Kentucky podcast. AG, man, we hit the basketball. They, you know, 40-point win on North Florida. They got to play the schedule the way it lies.
Yeah.
So. You know, we'll see what happens with Bellarmine on Tuesday. You got a day off tomorrow. Enjoy it.
And appreciate it.
Go Cowboys tomorrow.
And I can't agree with that. But, hey, man, Giants are out 4 starting offensive linemen. Wandale's done for the year. Prayers up to him.
Yes.
No top 2 cornerbacks out. It's a disaster. So – Hey, man, Dallas, if the Giants win, it'll be a small miracle. Yeah. I'll say that.
That's kind of what happened in Green Bay. I know we're squeezing a little football in, but sitting up there with all the Packers locals, the Green Bay locals, season ticket holders, and all that. During the team intros, because Green Bay was banged up too, which was really frustrating that Dallas lost that game. But every time they were doing the offensive line, the old dudes around me were going, "Who? Who? Who
Yeah,
is the
it's
who's
gonna
that?"
be a lot of that tomorrow. Like I don't even know who the left guard's gonna be. I really don't. It's gonna be probably someone off the practice squad because they're down their starter and their backup there. So it's a mess. It's unfortunate. That's why I wish this game was on a Sunday. But oh well.
Yeah, a little more time to rest before you have to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got you. I understand.
I think by rule that Micah Parsons has to sit.
I understand, man. Hey, I got Lawrence Taylor all them years. Leave us alone.
Hey, man, I wasn't even alive for that. So.
My bad.
Okay, I didn't get to enjoy it.
You had Strahan, too. Okay.
Right. I did have Strahan. I did.
Well, man, enjoy the long weekend, everybody. Everybody be safe. If you're out and about, be careful. Enjoy your weekend wherever you are. We appreciate y'all taking the time to listen. For AG, check him out on the Catch Pause football and basketball content. And check us out when you get time. Listen to the football or basketball episode. We both got two out tonight. So we'll see y'all next week. And we'll talk about Bellarmine and see where the team is at as we wait for another quality opponent, another opportunity to improve their resume. So stay with us. Follow us on social media. Check us out there and go to Bleed.com. For the next episode of Believe in Kentucky. We'll catch everybody next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.